Today's daf is daf Ayin Hei B'Metzia, daf Ayin Hei, and we will begin in the Mishnah five lines from the top. Actually, this is the Mishnah that discusses the halacha that we've referred to, Baruch Hashem, so many times, the halacha of Sa B'Sa, that on normal circumstances, under certain circumstances, you're not allowed to lend somebody a measure of a commodity with the intent of getting back the same amount. And as we've explained so many times, the concern is that this price fluctuation and what will be repaid is actually worth much more than what was lent. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Lo yom adam l'chaveri chaveni kor chitin, I'll lend me a kor of chitin, a measure of chitin, v'ani etan l'cha l'gayrin, and I'll repay you later in the season when I have my own weight, my own flour, I'll pay you back. Aval oimaloi, it is permissible to do sob sa, haveni, ach yavabini, if the borrower, the loiver says, I already have chitin, I just don't have it accessible, my son has access to it, oyach emtsa mafteach, or until I find the key. Then, we have the heter of yeshloi, since the loiver already has this commodity, then it's not considered an Isser of Sabasa. And as the Rishonim explain, the Isser of Sabasa is really and only an Isser Drabonim. Why is it only an Isser Drabonim? In that itself we have a Machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim explain, because at the time of the Hava, nothing is being identified that I have to give back more than I lent, that the borrower has to give back more than the lender lent him, and therefore it's not Ribbis Kfutza, it's only Ribbis Drabonon, and therefore in a situation where Yeshloi, if the loiver already has this commodity available, so then he's not really getting any real benefit, and that's why it's Mutter. Others explain more than that, because that when I lend you a Sof Chitin, and I'm going to get back a Sof Chitin, even if that Sof Chitin did go up in value, I didn't get anything more. I didn't end up more with anything tangibly more than I started with. What is the nafkamina between these two pshatim? The Chroidim said the nafkamina between these two pshatim is what will be the halacha if we know for sure the price of flour is going up. If we say that the point here is that since at the time of the halva, nothing was identified as ribis, so it doesn't make a difference if I know that the chitim will go up in price. But if the issue is that I'm getting back what I gave, here when I know what I'm going to get back is worth more than what I gave, then it would be awesome. We also discussed many times in our perek that there's another heter, and that is the heter of Yotza Hashar. If the price for this commodity has already been established, that is also a situation when Sa B'Sa transaction on Mutter. Certainly, explain the Rishonim, that you can't say by money, that you can't use by money this heter of Sa B'Sa, that where there's concern about price fluctuation and the value of money. Furthermore, what will be the din if besides lending you a saw of chitim, which was saying if yeshloi, if the loiver has it, it's mutter, what will be the din if we identify a specific time by which the halva has to be paid back? Some rishonim say that that isn't a factor. And in fact, the achronim, to support that opinion, say that's why the Mishnah gave us two examples of ach yovah b'ni, ach emtsim avteach, to point that it makes no difference if the loiver already has it, there's no Isser of Sa B'Sa. Other Rishonim suggest that if there's a time identified by a payback time, then it's more of a halva, and the heter of Yeshloi would not apply. For Hillel is Machmer throughout our Mishnah, and Hillel holds that even if Yeshloi, Sa B'Sa remains Asr. Furthermore, the Ken Hayel Oimer, another Chumrah that Hillel said, Lo Sav Isha Kalkal Chaverta, one woman is not allowed to lend a loaf of bread to a neighbor, Acha Tesa Adamim, unless they value the bread bread costs whatever, and you're going to give me back that value. Because, again, Shem Yukur Chitim, the price of bread may go up, the Nimtzabal Dei Ribbis. And again, the way the Rishonim explained the Mishnah, Hillel is actually disagreeing on two counts with our Tanakama. One is the Tanakama subscribes to the Heter of Yeshloi by Sabasa. Hillel doesn't. And furthermore, the Tanakama says that even if there is a din of Sabasa, it doesn't apply when neighbors lend things to each other. And the explanation is, because that's not really a halvah. It's the way people live together. It can be viewed perhaps as a matana. People aren't, neighbors aren't typically particular, and we'll see this more in the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, with each other about how much they give and how much they get back, or vice versa. And therefore, the entire rule of Sabasa doesn't apply, according to the Tanakhama, whereas according to Hillel, it does. Amar Rav Huna. So now the Gemara will begin to understand, if we're learning, according to the Tanakhama, that saw besaw is mutter in a situation of yeshloi. So Gemara is going to try to understand what does yeshloi mean. So Funa has a very elementary explanation. Yeshloi saw lava saw. So saim lava saim. I can only borrow exactly as much as I have. So if I have a sov chitin, I can borrow a sov chitin. If I have two sov chitin, I can borrow two sov chitin. But I can't actually borrow more than I physically own. Yitzchak is much more lenient. And he says, afilo, yesh le saw, even if I only have one saw, lava la kamakurin. That one saw could be the basis to borrow a lot of chitin. Why? So the Rishonim explain, again, we have to remember, say the Rishonim, that we're not referring to a situation here of saw b'saw being ribbis d'raisa. It's only ribbis d'rabbanan. And since it's only ribbis d'rabbanan, we could keep on saying that that saw that I have is the saw that's going to be used to pay back the loan. And therefore, it's always there as collateral for that loan or for that transaction, and that's why we don't have a situation of ribbis. There's a machloikis rishonim, how far to take Rav Yitzchak's kula. Some rishonim say Rav Yitzchak's kula will only apply in a situation where I borrowed from you today a sof chitin, and I have a sof chitin. And again, the reason why if I have a sof chitin, it's acceptable because it's like I already paid you back. It's just not accessible to me. But I have it, and I was ready meshabit it to you. But if I don't have that sof, I can't use that lomdis. So they say that every transaction could only be equivalent to the amount of chitin I actually have. So that means I could do many transactions, but never any one specific transaction with more than the actual amount of chitin I have. And some rishonim are even more makel. And they say, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, I could make a large transaction of many saw of chitin, even though I only have one saw actually available to me. Tan Rav Chia, l'siyula Rav Yitzchak. Rav Chia quoted a brisa that supports Rav Yitzchak's opinion. The brisa says, "Tipas yain einloy." When is saw b'saw transaction usher? When we're talking, let's say, about wine, if I don't even have a drop of wine, tipas shemen einloy. I don't have a drop of oil, so I can't enter into a saw b'saw transaction regarding oil. Hayeshloy. If I have oil, even though I don't have as much oil equal to the amount of the transaction, then the halacha is lava la kamatipa. The hillel, we learned, oyser. Am Rav Nachman, am Shmuel, halach kedivrei hillel. That he says the halacha is like hillel to be machmer. However, says the Gemara, the less halachas the kavasei, we don't follow hillel, and sabasar is mutter in a situation of yeshlei. V'ken hayil oimer le'savi isha. That neighbors, the Mishnah, Tanakama's opinion is that when neighbors lend to each other, there is no issue of sabasar. Hillel disagreed. An Amar of Yehuda Mishmul, Zudevei Hillel. This is Hillel's opinion. Avacham Amrim, Lovim Stam, Aparim Stam, people can lend and borrow from each other. However, says Amar of Yehuda Mishmul, B'nei Chabura Makbidim Zalzeh. You have a group of people that aren't generous. When they live with each other, they're not generous with each other. And therefore, they're very particular when they lend to each other that you have to get back exactly as much as they gave. Oivrim, Mishamida. And here we have Machlokes Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. Rashi and Tosfos here explain the Gemara as follows. If we live in a location, or we live amongst a group of people who are very particular with each other, that if I lend you something, you have to give me back exactly as much as I lent you, so then we can have an issue of Nida. On Yontif, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to measure. So if we don't have this kind of relationship with each other, so you ask me for a cup of sugar, I'm not counting exactly or measuring exactly how much sugar. But if we are not generous with each other, and if I give you a cup of sugar, I'm being careful to know that it's exactly this much sugar, and in Shabbos, you're not allowed to measure. That's how Moshe Rishonim explained the Gemara. Some explain that the Gemara is not talking about Shabbos Yontif. The Gemara is speaking about during the week. And the Gemara is saying that if we're particular with each other, so we're particular with each other, then there is an issue of sabasaw, even amongst neighbors. And therefore, when I measure exactly how much flour I'm lending to you, I'm getting involved in a sabasaw transaction, which is usur. Similarly, in the same pshat will go on Mishkol. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to weigh. So if we have this type of relationship, so we could come, that we'll weigh what I'm giving you. And the weighing is a real weighing, and it'll be usur. Again, the other pshat will say it's even during the week. Or Mishmiyot Minyan, you're not allowed to count. Again, why are you not allowed to count? Because it looks like Mekech u'memkar. A Mekech u'memkar is usur in Shabbos v'yontif. Ooh, Mishum Lovim v'parim v'yontif. If it's a real halva, that I'm lending you something, and you're paying back something, that's usur on yontif. So if it's not a sabasar relationship, if it's just a neighbor comes to ask for something and I give him, and I'm not particular how much I give him, and I'm not particular how much I'm getting back, so that isn't the halvah. That's not usur on Shabbos for yontif, provided that there's no issue of carrying and all the other shiles that could come up. But if it's a situation that we're particular with each other, and in Shabbos halvah is usur because of mekach u'memkar, it would be a problem. It's interesting to note that I saw that the Pais can point out that in Shabbos for Yontif, Havo upriya are asr. Borrowing and repaying are asr. Matana, giving you something, and you giving me something is muta. So the Pais can point out that in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, there's a word called Havo, and there's a word called Shela, and there's a word called Nesina. Very, very different words. Havah is asr, Shayla may be asr, Nesina is mutter. But in different languages, we don't necessarily have all these different words, and we have to be careful that if you want to lend something on Shabbos, you want to borrow something on Shabbos, not to use the word lend or borrow, which represents mekach u'memkar. Ukedivrei Hillel, according to Hillel, af mishum ribis, you could have a situation of ribis, because according to Hillel, sabasaw amongst neighbors is usur, and you could end up with a situation where I'm giving you back more than I got, and if I'm makbid, according to Hillel, even if you're not makbid, it's always going to be usur. Ask the Rishonim, Tosfos Rosh, ask this question. If we're referring to an area where people are so particular to borrow and pay back, to lend and pay back exactly the amount that was given, so how will you have ribbis? Aren't the Loiva and Malva going to be careful to give back the exact amount? Answers the Tosfos Rosh. It's impossible, or it's difficult, to be perfectly exact. And therefore, since people are being particular with each other, it's very likely you could end up with a rivers situation. However, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Talmid HaChachamim Mitarim Lavasem Zemba Ribbis. Talmid HaChachamim may lend to each other with ribbis. My Tama, tremendous kula, may the idea. Talmid HaChachamim certainly are aware the ribbis asura umetanahu deyava hadadi. They're giving to each other not as ribbis, but rather as a gift. And the Rishonim are obviously very troubled with this Gemara, because Talmid HaChachamim have the same Torah as the rest of Klal Yisrael. What does the Gemara mean? So the way Chasam Sofer explains the Gemara, it certainly we're not referring to a situation of ribbis, a halva with interest. There's no heter even for a Talmud Chacham. What the Gemara here means is, Talmid HaChachamim don't use the word halva. When they lend something to each other, They never use the word halva. They only use the word matana. The giving, I'm giving him and he's giving back to me. And since it's only a matana and not a halva, the riba, therefore, it's not awesome. That's the way the Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer's pshat works perfectly with the next line of the Gemara. Am le Shmuel avua bar I, hilni meya pilpulin, haveni meya pilpulin, lend me 100 pepper, b'meya v'esrim pilpulin, and I'll give you back 120. V'aruch, an aruch means, and this is a proper thing to do, because it's being given as a gift, and since it's being given as a gift, it's an acceptable approach. And go on to Rishonim to explain. What was Shmuel teaching us? That even though here we have a situation that he's getting back 20% more than he gave, up to 20% can be considered a matana and not be considered ribis. And when it's Talmid Chachamim working with each other, then it's going to be mutter because it's considered a matana that Talmid Chachamim are permitted. Furthermore, certain Rishonim suggest that this heter of Talmid Chachamim are only when both the loiva and the malva are Talmid Chachamim. And therefore they're very familiar with the halacha, and they'll be careful to keep it a matana, not allow it to become a halva. Another pshat that I saw, most appropriate to the last daf of Perek Ezu Neshech. As we learn this Perek, and we learn Hilchas Ribis, we realize that Hilchas Ribis are very complicated and also of much more common than we would perhaps assume. So when people do financial transactions, not Africa, financial transactions, any transactions with each other, we're certainly possibly going to end up with Isra Ribis. What the Gemara is teaching us is Talmidei Chachomim, who know and learn the halachas of Ribis and know what's Asra Mutter. If you know the halacha, you'll have a way to be able to work and do financial transactions one with the other. It's only people who aren't Talmid Chachamim stand the risk of ending up with Hilchas Ribis. In fact, I saw a nice pshat. Shmuel was saying, V'oruch. What Shmuel was saying is, the word oruch means, as Rashi explained, we explained, what they were doing was proper. But there's another way of explaining the word oruch, that the word oruch stands for Arvak Ribis Yeshkan. And the way to understand the pshat perhaps is as follows. If Talmidei Chachamim, who know the halachas, transact with each other, v'aruch, it's fine. And they have a way to do it which is completely halachically permissible. For another person, for other people who aren't familiar with the halachas, avak ribis yeshkan. Amar Yehuda Merav, mutalai la'odam lahavas banav b'nei beisai, a person is allowed to lend to members of his family money on ribis, kidei la'timam tam ribis, so they should learn what ribis is about. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is ribis is a very terrible thing. A person borrows money, and before he knows it, he has to pay back so much more than he actually borrowed. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Talmid Chachamim, who want to teach that lesson to the family, how terrible ribis is, should lend them some money in ribis, that they should get a taste of how bad ribis is all about. That's how some Mefarshim explain the Gemara. Others Mefarshim, the Rambam, explains the Gemara just the opposite. A father is allowed to lend money, is allowed to borrow money from his children and pay them ribis. And they'll start enjoying the ribis very much. They didn't have to do anything and they're earning money. And yet, after the father showed them how profitable ribis is, they avoid doing anything with ribis because the Torah tells us that a Jew is not allowed to lend money or borrow money with ribis. That type of chinuch is a very valuable chinuch, he suggested, because then a person appreciates the mitzvah that he's doing. However, says the Gemara, v'lav milsihi, it's incorrect. Don't do this. Shandas l'misrach, we may have them get a habit of getting involved in ribis transactions. Begins the last Mishnah of our parak, Ezra Hashem. One person could tell another friend of his, Nachish mi, I'll weed the field with you, v'nachash imcha. And then you'll weed my field with me. Or adar me will dig the field with me. V'adar mach, and then I'll work with you. However, say the paiskim, the only time this is mutter is when we're talking about working on a field. But certainly, it's usher, say the Rishonim, for me to say to you, Haveni li, lend me money today because I need money. Ve'elver mach, and I'll lend you back money when you need money. That would be issue of ribbis. However, furthermore, says the Mishnah, ve'loyoy meloy, one person shouldn't say to the other, nechesh imi, you weed with me, ve'eder imach, and I'll dig with you, or vice versa, eder imi, ve'nachesh imcha. Because since the two jobs are not equivalent, so I may be giving you back more than you gave me. Maybe the job I'm doing for you is more valuable than the job you did for me. And then we have a shayla of ribbis. Koyme grid echad. However, says the Mishnah, that even though I'm allowed to enter into a relationship of nachashimi v'nachashimcha, or vice versa, edemi v'edemcha, that's only if we're going to work for each other in the same season. And the Yimei grid, when it's in the dry season, Koyimei Rivayachas. As the Rishonim explain, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though in those days they didn't work on a 9-to-5 schedule, an 8-hour workday, they worked for sun up to sundown. And not all the days are equal in length. As long, explained the Rishonim, that the Mishnah is teaching us, we didn't clearly articulate that I'll work for you, let's say, in a day that's 9 hours long, and you'll work for me with a day that's 10 hours long. We just said, I'll work for you, I'll dig for you, and you'll dig for me. As long as we didn't clearly express that it's going to be one of us working more hours than the other, and it's both the exact same job, it's mutter. In fact, I saw a tshuva from Moshe Sternberg, the tshuva van Haggis, based on this Mishnah. He speaks about a situation where there's somebody who's a teacher of a class, and he's unable to come one day to give his lesson. So he tells a friend, he asks another teacher, substitute for me, and I'll substitute for you when you can't make it to your class. Now he says, not all classes are the same. Some classes are tougher, the students are easier, the students are more difficult. He says, as long as it's the exact same or more or less the same job, even though the circumstances may not be exactly identical, if that wasn't expressed when they entered into this deal, it's mutter. However, says the Mishnah, I shouldn't say work for me in the dry season, because, as Rashi explains, the dry season is easier to plow than the rainy season when the ground is muddy, and therefore I'm getting back more than I gave. Or the Rishayim Demiri says, vice versa is also usur. Maybe if you work for me in the muddy season, certainly I'm allowed to work for you in the dry season, because the dry season, the ground is tougher, so maybe harder to plow. So even though we don't have to be particular that the days should be the exact same length, we do have to be particular they should be in the exact same season. Says the Mishnah, Ragnul Oimer, Yesh Ribbis Mugdemis, Yesh Ribbis Mucheris. There's a concept of Ribbis Mugdemis and the concept of Ribbis Mucheris. What does that mean? Ketzad. Nos ein of Ruv Vesemenu. I want to borrow money from you. V'mishaleich loy. And I keep on, and I give you a gift. And I say, V'oim b'shvil shetalveini. I'm giving you this gift. So therefore, when I come to borrow money from you, you shall lend it to me. Zu Ribbis Mugdemis. That's Ribbis Mugdemis. Machloikus Rishonim, what would be the halacha if I want to borrow money from you and I give you a gift, but I don't say that I'm giving you the gift because I want to influence you by giving you the gift that you should lend me money? Some say that still remains Ribbis Mugdemis, as that's my intent. Others say, since our Mishnah says it's only if I expressly say that I'm giving you the gift for that purpose, otherwise it's Mutta. Love the Himena, on the other hand, let's say I borrowed money from you, and I'm returning money to you, and I give you a gift, and I say, I'm giving you this gift because you had lent me money and didn't earn any money on the money you lent me. That's ribbis mulcheres. Even though it wasn't stipulated, it wasn't agreed to, it's still ribbis. Here too we have the same achloikis. If it's only usur, if I say that I'm giving you the gift because you lent me money, or even if I didn't say it, it still would be usur. Similarly, we have a machloikis. The halacha, not machloikis, rather, the halacha is that even though ribbis mulcheres is usur, that if you lend me money and I pay you back plus a bonus as a gift for lending me money, it's considered ribbis mulcheres. Most Rishonim say ribbis mulcheres is drabanan. Still, what would happen if you lent me money and a while later I give you a gift? Many Rishonim suggest that that would be mutter because it's not connected to the law. Rav Shimon says there's another concept. There's a concept of yesh dvarim, ribbis dvarim, which means, don't tell somebody, a loiva, the way most Rishonim explained this Gemara, is that a loiva is not allowed to tell a malva, da kiba ish plenim amakam plenim. Here we have a person that lent me money, and I feel very beholden to him. So I give him a tip. I tell him, I give him a stock tip, or I give him some other piece of information, which I normally would not have told him. And I'm only telling it to him because I feel beholden to him because he lent me money. That would be considered ribbis dvarim. Others explain, the pshat in the Mishnah is just the opposite. Normally, I would not tell somebody else to do something for me. I can't tell somebody to work for me. But here the malva feels that he has the ability, the authority, to tell a loiva to do something for him, which he normally would not tell him to do, normally would not ask him to do. But here I feel that the loiva owes me because I lent the money. That would be in the category of ribbis dvarim. Ve'elu oivrim b'loisa say, the following individuals are over the loisa say of ribbis, hamalva v'aloiva, v'ore v'edim, the guarantors of the edim, v'chamam afa soifer. And other Rishonim explained that also a broker, if there's a broker that made this loan happen, he's also over the lav of ribbis. What lavim are involved? Oivrim m'shum lois sitain, u'mishum al tikach m'itoi neshach v'tabis, u'mishum lois siyaloi kinoisha, u'mishum v'lois esimun alov neshach, u'mishum lofnei iva lois sita mechshav yirei yisum alakach ani Hashem. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yochi Omer, m'nayin l'noish b'chaver mona. How do you know if somebody else owes somebody money? Ve'inu rogel agam sholem. Before he lent me money, I never said thank you to him. And all of a sudden now, they lent me money, I never said good morning to him. And all of a sudden now, I start saying good morning, hello to him. Sha'os l'hagdam l'ayshalom, tamalaymer, neshech kol dover ha-shi'ishach, afil dibur asr. The Paiskim discuss, what is the halacha about saying thank you? If somebody lends me money, if saying thank you is in the category of ribbis dvarim. Some Paiskim suggest that thank you is just the way we're supposed to talk, and therefore would not be in the category of ribbis dvarim. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that a thank you is in the category of ribbis dvarim. Some Paiskim suggest that this is why we don't say thank you, but we say tisku l'mitzvahs, which may not be in the category of ribbis dvarim. And there are Paiskim that suggest that even tisku l'mitzvahs falls into the category of ribbis dvarim. Ve'ela oivrim. So the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, said that all the participants in a transaction that involves ribbis are oivr the lavin, and says Abaya, malva, oivr bekulin. All of the lavin that the Mishnah identified, a malva is oivr. Loiva oivr, mishim loisashich lochicha, or lochicha loisashich, lofnei iva loisit amichsho. By him borrowing the money, he causes the malva to do the aveira of ribbis. So Taisus explains when the Mishnah says that the Edim are not over lufnei evil esit the michshol. Taisus says it refers to a situation where the malva and the loiva would have entered into this transaction even if the Edim weren't there, or if there would have been other Edim. But let's say the only reason the Mavis lending this money to the Loiva is because the Loiva, because of these Edim who are willing to be part of this transaction, then they are over the Lav of the evil Asitim Efshon. Tanya, Rav Shimon Omer Melevi, Ribis, Yoisim Mashim Ravichim Mafsidim. Ribis, you more than you earn, you lose. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, even though typically we know that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts is Mida Keneged Mida, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person according to the Aveira that that individual did, here, says the Chassam Sofer, what is Ribis all about? Ribis is that you're earning more than you gave. And since you're earning more than you gave, so you deserve to get a punishment also greater than what you actually were maviach. In fact, I saw another pshat that there's a medrash that says that those that are malvin beribis, those that lend money on ribis, will not get off at chiyas amesim when Mashiach comes. And the mefarshim explain why not. So they explain that everybody wants Mashiach to come as soon as possible. What is ribis all about? A person who lends his money on interest is anxious that the loiva shouldn't pay him back. Time is on his side. He wants to extend the amount of time that the loiva doesn't pay him back, so he should be able to collect more interest. So he wants to delay things, so when Mashiach comes, it'll come for everybody else, but not for him. Furthermore, v'aymrim, people who lend money on ribis say, Ilo ha-yodei Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu were aware, she'revach b'davazeh, lo'yoy kaisvay. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is, what the Gemara means to say is, that it's saying it in a nice way. It's really a euphemism. They're trying to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a smart person. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu were a smart person, he would have realized how great Ribbis is. So first question that the Mefarshim ask is, how could you say that Ribbis is Revach? Yes, there's Revach to the Malva, but there's no Revach to the Loiva. So what are the Gemara saying that they had Moshe Rabbeinu realize there was Revach in Ribbis? So Mefarshim explained that these people who want to speak badly about Moshe Rabbeinu, about our Torah, say that this ribis is great both for the malva and for the loiva. It's great for the malva because he earns interest without doing any work. And it's also perhaps great for the loiva because he's able to get money and invest and make money on that money. And they say Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what business is all about. So I saw a beautiful pshat in this Gemara for the Ben Yoyada. How does Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, get into this issue about ribis? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, as we just explained, ribis could be beneficial, certainly to the malva, and even to the loiva. So these people who do business on ribis say, Moshe Rabbeinu, who we call that great chacham, that great wise man, really wasn't so wise. He didn't understand business. He thought the ribis is not worthwhile. And that's why he said, the Torah says the ribis is aser. Saying that is aser. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there could be financial benefit to ribis, but he also knew the terrible what ribis could do, as we keep on saying that it's noishech, it bites, and therefore it's aser. Continues the Gemara. Ki aser avdimi amr, menayin lenoish b'chaveir mona. How do we know if somebody else owes somebody else money? V'yidei she'en loy, and I know that that person doesn't have the money available. I shouldn't make myself available. I shouldn't walk in front of that person to make the loiva uncomfortable because he can't pay. As the Rishonim debate, some say we learn it from the word loy is extra to tell us that you shouldn't walk in front of a person who owes you money if he can't pay you. And others say, kenosha, even walking in front of him is an act of noisha, which is awesome. The Miches Chinuch discusses, what is the halacha if there's a suffix? Let's say somebody owes me money, and I don't know if he has the funds to pay me back or not. Am I allowed to be over the funds or not? So Bashkafu Rishayna, at first glance he says, certainly it's Osir. It's Safik Darais L'chumra, and we have to be Machmer. But then, he suggests that it's perhaps Mutter. And the Mefarshim suggests why. Because, number one, they follow the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Menayin L'nosh B'chaver Mana V'yedeya She'en Loi. Only in a situation, V'yedeya She'en Loi, that I know that the person doesn't have money. If I don't know that he doesn't have money, even though I don't know that he does have the money, it's already Mutter. Another pshat that I saw, why is the din that if there's a question, I'm allowed to walk in front of the person, even though maybe he doesn't have the money? Because on one hand, forcing a person to pay me when he doesn't have the ability to pay me is an aveira. On the other hand, paying back a chayv is a mitzvah. So if I know the person can't pay me, he doesn't have the funds, I shouldn't walk in front of him. But if maybe he has the funds, so then I can help him do the mitzvah, a priest bal chayiv mitzvah, so therefore I'm allowed to walk in front of him. Says the Gemara, Rav Ami Rav Asi Damatavayu, ki'ilu dona b'shnei dinim. Somebody who walks in front of somebody who doesn't have the ability to pay him back is as if put him to two harsh judgments. Shnemar hikafta enish l'rishenu b'anu b'eishu b'mayim. And as the Mashal explains, if you walk in front of a person who owes you money and doesn't have the ability to pay you, so first he becomes pale, and then his face turns red. So first his face turns red, Be'esh, his face turns red, and then afterwards his complexion comes back, B'mayim, so that's Bono Be'esh or B'mayim, by walking in front of a person who owes you money and can't pay you. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Chomish Yesh Le'mos, or Malvay Som Shloi Be'edim, if somebody has money, and he lends that money without edim, because the person may forget that he borrowed the money and won't pay you back. Rish Lakish Omer, Goyim Klol La'atzamai. Shnemar, Halamno, Sifsei Sheker, Hadoivers Atzadik Osad. They may come say lie, I'd come and ask you for the money that you owe me and you don't remember, and you may come to lie that you don't owe me money when you actually do, but you just forgot. Amalei Rabbanan L'Ravashi. Kamekayim Ravina Koma Ada Omer Rabbanan. Rabbanan said it to Ravashi, Ravina is very careful to follow every halacha. Sholachle, and he tested him. He said, Sholachle Bahadi Demanyi Demal Shabsa. He sent him on Erev Shabbos, time Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, when everybody's busy. Lishdali Ma'as Surah Zuzi, could you please lend me 10 zuz? The Samli Katina Da'ara, a small piece a property became available to me, Lemizban, that I should be able to buy. Shalachle, Nesimar Sahadi, bring Edim, the Nichtav Ksada, and write that, let's make a star. You can't lend, borrow money without a document. Shalachle, Afola Anon Nami, does this halacha even apply to me? Maybe a regular person, we have to be concerned, is going to forget. I'm Ravina. I'm Ravashi, Sholachle. So Ravina said to him, Kolshim Kemar, certainly you, the Torah Begirsei, you're occupied in learning Torah. Mishtali, you may forget that you owe me the money, not intentionally trying to cheat me, you just may forget. V'garim Klolo Atzmai. However, the Chafetz Chaim, another place can say that even though the Gemara is saying you shouldn't lend money to somebody else without a document, we don't have to have a full-fledged document that has edim and everything. Just an IOU committed to writing is enough that it should be mutter. So the Paiskim, actually beginning already from the time of the Rishonim, discuss that we don't necessarily see that people are so medagdek that they don't lend money to each other without putting it to paper. Yet Al Gemara is so strong about it. Why? So Ritva says that our entire Gemara is just a midas chassidus. It's not strictly the letter of the law, and that's why people are perhaps a little more lenient, which is a difficult pshat, because first of all, the Gemara doesn't say it, and it's a midas chassidus that the Gemara says we should follow. So how can we be lenient with it? So I tried to find some aterim. The only two aterim that we're able to find are follows. One heter I found, Derech Shai says this, that the Gemara begins with the words, Kol mi sheyesh lemos. The Gemara is referring to a situation that the person has a lot of money, Baruch Hashem, or Malvason, and he gets into a lot of loans.
So since this person is involved in so many loans, it's invariable that he's going to forget, or the loiver may forget, to pay back. So that person, the Gemara is saying, has to be very careful to lend, and every time he lends money, he has to commit it to writing. But let's say an individual who doesn't have that much money, or he isn't that involved in lending money on a regular basis, so the few transactions that he enters, he'll certainly remember. The loiver doesn't get involved in that many transactions, and therefore he'll certainly remember. That's not awesome. That's the Erech Shai's heter. Another heter that I saw is that, as we've learned so many times, even though midaraisa, the halach is that the only time I could demand that you should pay me money is if I bring two edim, a pishnei edim yokum davar, hametz mechaveru all of araya, I have to bring two edim, or shtar, mekuyim, that you owe me the money. Chazal established, as we've learned so many times, the concept of a shvuas heses. That even if I only have one aid, if you deny owing me the money, you have to take a shvuah. So say some paiskim, once Chazal established the din of a shvuas heses, that is enough that we could be able to lend money even without a shtar. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, shloish etzayakim veinenenim. The three individuals that cry out to Bezdin, and Bezdin doesn't help them. Somebody lent money without Edom, and now he comes complaining to Bezdin that he can't get back his money. So Bezdin says to him, why did you lend the money without a document? Somebody who is kind of odin latzmai, the Gemara is going to explain in a moment what that means. Which the Rishonim explain means that he promised his wife a very large settlement if they should get divorced, and he doesn't have the ability to pay out that settlement, and he doesn't have the option of divorcing his wife, and therefore his wife feels that she could do whatever what she wants with him. He's stuck with her anyway. A person wants to, people come asking a person to lend money from him or to give stock up, and he says, I don't really have money. And all the money you think I have is not really mine. It really belongs to a guy. The guy hearing that will now say he admitted himself that that money is mine, and he'll lose that money. Ikadamri, Hakaisiv Nechasiv Labonov. Hakaisiv Nechasiv Labonov B'chayiv. If somebody writes away his money, he wants to avoid different estate issues, and he already gives all his money away to his children, so he doesn't have a means of support. And Ikadamri, the Bishla B'homasa, he... terrible things happen to him in this place, and he doesn't move away. Like the ultimate Kelim explains, he says, if something bad keeps on happening to a person in a certain place, it's a message from Shemayim that he should not be in this place, and he should listen to that message, and if he doesn't listen to the message, he has no right to complain. That's one way of explaining. Another explanation I saw is that by moving away, it's like Golus. And Golus brings a kapara to a person. And if the person didn't avail himself of that kapara, he has no right to complain. Actually, these two pshatim will have a nafka min al halacha. What will be if something bad happens to a person in a certain place? Does it mean that he has to move from the house, or he has to move from the neighborhood? If the vart is kapara, then he should move from the neighborhood. If it's that the place is perhaps what causes bad things to happen to him, so it's enough maybe they should move from that house. But if the bad things are happening to him in a house, he doesn't necessarily have to move from the neighborhood. As we finish the Perek Ezu Neshach, and we finish the sugi, particularly of Ribbis Tavarim, I want to quote an interesting story that I saw. Rav Shimon Schwab learned in the Mir Yeshiva. He lived in Germany. And in the Mir Yeshiva, the Mashgiach was the famous tzaddik, Rabbi Yerucham Levovitz. The Bachrim of the Yeshiva, before they would go home for Yontif, didn't have money. They would borrow money from Rabbi Yerucham. And then when they came back from home, they would have money to pay him back for the travel expenses. So the first time Rav Schwab borrowed money from Rabbi Yerucham to go home to Germany, he came back and he gave Rabbi Yerucham the money and he said, thank you. And Rabbi Yochum got angry at him. We just learned the sugya. You're not going to say thank you. Thank you is a ribbis tavarim. So the next year, the same thing happened. And Rav Schwab borrowed money. He came back. But this time he knew when he paid back Rabbi Yeruchim, he didn't say thank you. So Rabbi Yeruchim got angry at him. So Shav said, I don't know. I can't do anything right. When I say thank you, it's not good. And when I don't say thank you, it's not good. So Rabbi Yeruchim answered, you know how to say thank you, as our Gemara just taught us. But you have to want to say the thank you. I saw you didn't even want to say the thank you. Not Ribbis says you know how to say it. But of course you have to feel gratitude to anybody that does you a favor. Harun Lach Ezu Neshach, Harun Lach Ezu Neshach, Harun Lach Ezu Neshach.